It's 7:45 here on Giant 90.9, and that can only mean one thing. Your host, Owen Pulley, is alongside Maxwell Gilly and Lucas McKee in HD1 Studios, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight! Welcome to another episode of the Sports Spotlight here on Indy's Giant 90.9. My name is Owen Pulley alongside Maxwell Gilly and Lucas McKee on this November 15th edition of the Sports Spotlight. Hope you guys are having a wonderful morning. We get some flurries out there, and it is a very cold morning, very, very chilly. But hopefully you guys are having a good day wherever you guys are out there. Max, how are you doing today?
I am doing great. It is the Sports Spotlight, so it's a great day. Just has to be. And Eagles are no longer undefeated.
And the Colts won.
Exactly.
Lucas, how are you doing today?
I'm finally over my illness, so I feel great, actually.
Yeah, you're finally good. Well, that's good to hear, but we can get right into it for today. We're going to talk about the Colts news. The Colts get a win with interim coach Jeff Saturday gets the first win there. Parks Frazier on the play calls, however. We could talk about that. The Eagles are no longer undefeated, and Max is pretty happy about that. He mentioned it earlier. We're going to talk about some college football, some college basketball, and then a little bit of high school sports right here in the Sports Spotlight. But let's get right into it. The Colts take a win on Sunday over the Raiders 25-20. That moves them to 4-5-1 and the Raiders to 2-7. Just an interesting game overall. The Colts... not really. I mean, Matt Ryan using his feet a lot. He's 21 for 28 with 222 yards, one touchdown. And Matt Ryan, 4 carries for 38 yards and a touchdown on the ground as well.
Hey, he was only sacked once, so that's a good thing, too. And he had the 39-yard run. That was impressive as well. I think people were saying that's like the most he's ever had to run, so... probably. Interesting there it was. So we got to see Matt Ryan come back as the starter immediately. It's interesting that Ellinger was the starter for a couple of weeks, Franco's, and then they immediately are like, hey, like, Ryan's back as starter. So they didn't really give Sam that much time to grow and develop.
Yeah, I don't know what I thought of that, but then Matt Ryan didn't do that bad, so...
I mean, yeah, we are. I am happy about
just
that.
It's just all about giving the quarterback time, really. That's all they have to work on. That's really the problem. I guess play calling really changed. The play calling was actually really good. There was a first quarter touchdown. So, I mean.
And it's the first time all season the Colts have been leading at halftime.
Yeah, so, I mean, like, no. Were they leading against? No, they weren't. They were down by... one against the Commanders.
Yeah. That was a tough game to go to. But speaking of the Commanders get a win over the Eagles.
Yep.
But real quick, before we talk about that, we're going to go over to the guy on the sidelines, Jeff Saturday. Obviously was a center for the Colts, said to be one of the best centers to ever play football. He gets his first win as a head coach. Now, do you think that he's going to stay in this spot, or do you think that... That'll change next season.
I don't think one game decides that. I think the rest of the season decides that. That's why he even said in like his interview, he was like the rest of the season decides what really happens. He said he's just here to step up and take the opportunity. So,
I know everyone wants to have the first take type show where, oh, we're going to overreact after one game, but you are correct. It is one game. I don't expect to see him back as the head coach next year. I have been surprised before. I really think this was just done by Irsay to just have someone people like, a good leader, without having to do like a full interview process, because it seems like Saturday was like the first pick and just immediately
like,
was brought
it's like
in.
Saturday just wanted Frank out of there. Or not Saturday. It's like Irsay just wanted Frank out of there already, so...
yeah, definitely wanted a coaching change, a change of scenery to Jeff Saturday. But Jeff Saturday is 1-0, and with the Eagles' loss last night. Jeff Saturday is the only undefeated coach in the league.
So the important question, if the Colts can beat the Eagles, is everyone going to overreact, and are they going to try and give Jeff Saturday a contract? Do you think Ursay would do that?
I think Ursay would do it. I don't think that it's the right decision. But
yeah,
I think that Ursay
exactly.
would do it.
Exactly. I do think that's something Ursay would do, and I don't think it's the right decision as well, not after two games.
I agree.
It's just wait to how the season goes. And I think people also would overreact on the Eagles as well if the Eagles lost two games in a row, especially if they lost to the Colts now. But I do believe, like, the Colts were able to beat the Chiefs. They're a great offense. Like, look at Patrick Mahomes and what he's been able to do with all of his receivers around him. So I just think it comes to the run defense, because Philly has a pretty good offensive line. So
definitely there.
I'm a lot more excited to see the Colts-Eagles matchup now, than I originally was 1 week ago. So
yeah, you're right.
That is probably a good thing for tickets, too, because a lot of people were probably expecting it to be a blowout. And it still could be, but there's just something about having Saturday there that brings you confidence.
Yeah.
Might as well take out Ryan and put in Nick Foles as, you know, quarterbacks.
Yeah,
you know,
just to confuse the team even more.
Have a comeback game again, or have a reuniting game against
the Eagles. I think the Colts' strategy going into the season to get to the Super Bowl was just to confuse everybody. They're just throwing flags everywhere. It's just everything's flying. Every different thing is happening. No one's predicting anything.
Yeah, for sure. But the Commanders, moving over to the Commanders, Monday Night Football beat the Eagles 32-21. Now, obviously, that was a little bit closer than it was. The Commanders scored a touchdown in the last couple minutes of the game, but the Eagles lose by 11 and only scored. They scored 14 in the first quarter and 7 in the fourth quarter, so no points scored in the second and third quarter. The Commanders were consistent with their scoring, 7 points in the first quarter, 13 in the second, 3 in the third, and 9 in the fourth. So, pretty good scoring there for the Commanders. But the Commanders knocked down the undefeated Eagles. They're now 8-1. The Commanders are now 5-5.
They did that to the Steelers when they were 11-0 as well.
Yeah, in the 2020 season, I did see that. Taylor Heinicke went 17-for-29 with 211 yards and a touchdown. And Jalen Hurts went 17-for-26, 175 touchdowns, 2 touchdowns, and an interception. And Jalen Hurts had 6 carries for 28 yards and a touchdown.
He struggled. He may not struggled, but he didn't. The Eagles' offense didn't do as well with A.J. Brown not in because he got hurt midway through.
Yeah, it definitely didn't help them there. Max, what are your thoughts on the game?
Just congratulations to Washington. You know, they've been not doing so well this year. They are at 5-5, so they're at 500. They are playing a little bit better. And I expected a couple of years ago that Washington was going to be good. They haven't been able to show that whatsoever right now, but they definitely have some good pieces around them. So if they can keep them, they may be doing well. They just got to deal with all of the off-field stuff, and then they'll be good.
Yeah, we'll just have to see there. But like I said, the Eagles fall to 8-1. No more undefeated teams in the NFL, and the Commanders are 5-5. But moving over to one of the injuries in the NFL that I did want to talk about, Zach Ertz out for the season with a knee injury in the win over the Rams. Only had one catch for 12 yards and then took a knee injury and was carted off the field. He is out for the season.
Dang, that's sad.
Also, apparently, Cooper Kupp had a high right ankle sprain in the loss to the Cardinals. So
they had backup quarterbacks in that game as well. So it's like both those teams are already injured.
That's so exciting. Can't wait. Because aren't they like playing Monday Night Football next week in like Mexico City with?
Probably.
Yeah.
That Munich game, though.
49ers Cardinals. Yeah, so Cardinals.
Yep.
Jerry Jeudy was carted off the field as well. That was another injury there.
Injury after injury piling up for the Broncos.
There's been a lot of injuries this season in general. A lot of scary injuries early on in the season.
That's why people are talking about trying to do something about turf.
Oh yeah, there's Absolutely. Six NFL cities that are trying to fix the turf.
And it really all started with the early on this season with the who was it? It was a Rams receiver, and during a game where he was just trotting down the field or down the like during a play, he was just trotting after. I mean, it might have been a Giants receiver actually, and then just out of nowhere, his leg gave out, his knee completely blew out. It was just that's when Pat McAfee tweeted, and then OBJ tweeted, and it's been just going off since. And I believe, yeah, turf is bad.
MetLife Stadium has had awful turf for many years because I remember the 1 year the 49ers were injured, like that entire team.
Oh, yeah.
Well, like half of them got injured at MetLife Stadium season, in 2020.
Their whole season was. And didn't they still make it to Super Bowl, or was that?
Oh no,
year?
That was the year after the Super Bowl.
So that was
Bowl.
The 2019. Was that the 2019 season that made it to Super Bowl?
Yeah, because they were in the 2020 Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. BC.
Yes. But the Seahawks lose. The Buccaneers get a win, 21-16 over the Seattle Seahawks. Played in Munich, Germany, the first ever NFL game played in Germany. So that was pretty cool to see there. But overall, I think that the NFL could do pretty well in foreign countries.
I like international games.
It's really nice that we can get to watch football early, so we get one more game to watch. Also, apparently they're looking at Spain and France now. So, looks like we're going to keep having as many international games as we can, because the NFL enjoys that, because it gets them exposure, lots more money.
I think the other countries like it as well.
I would think so. It just always seems like it's a fun atmosphere.
Because, I mean, you look at the crowd, and there's, like, not the jerseys you'd expect to be there. There's, like, it'll be, like, the Rams and Bears playing or whoever, just, and there's, like, a lot of Packers jerseys or Bengals jerseys, just a lot of jerseys that are not meant to be there. It's just a lot of soccer jerseys, too. It's a fun atmosphere. They're crazy over there, too, so.
And then sometimes they don't know exactly what to do, apparently, compared to the normal American sporting things. So you'll hear their reactions to stuff that aren't exactly as exciting as it needs to be.
I do like international games. They are pretty fun to watch. But, yeah, the jerseys and the chants are always funny because they're very different than soccer games, American football games are. But we're going to go to a quick break and then come back with some college hoops and some college football news right here on the Sports Spotlight, Indy's Giant 90.9.
Let's be honest. The National Symphony may not be in his future, but he wanted to try violin. So you said yes because you love him. And if you love him that much, love him enough to make sure he's buckled up and in the back seat. Find out more about keeping your kids safe in your vehicle at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Show him you love him. Keep them safe. Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Hey, we're pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis, your station for variety.
Welcome back to the Sports Spotlight, Indy's Giant 90.9. My name is Owen Poley, alongside Maxwell Gilley and Lucas McKee, right here, Sports Spotlight. We got done with the NFL news. We're moving over to the NBA, or not the NBA, that's later. We'll talk about that in a little bit. College basketball, and then some college football. But college basketball is really getting into the good games. You know, we're kind of done with the big team versus small team, even though there was some big games that, like, they had some big upsets. Yeah. I couldn't think.
Northwestern State getting to beat TCU last night was the big one. I think Ken Pom had like Northwestern State ranked like 150th out of like 160, and they end up beating TCU, so that was the big one. But this is always an interesting thing that you'll get to see when you see those big matchups like that against the small schools.
Now some of these teams aren't 100% ranked, but just going through some of them, Troy beat Florida State 79-72.
Hasn't Florida State like lost twice in a row because they lost to Stetson, I thought, too?
Probably. They're not very good, but it's the name that I'm just mentioning here. Northwestern State beat number 15 TCU, like you said, Max. Maine defeated Boston College 69-64. Stetson beat South Florida. That's the one you were thinking of.
2-0 on the year, baby.
Florida lost to Florida Atlantic by 2. So that was pretty crazy there.
Overrated. Watch out.
Yeah, but as of 18 hours ago, the power rankings, the top 10 from from Andy Katz, the Power 36, the top 10 of the Power 36 is North Carolina, Houston, Gonzaga, UCLA, Kansas, Indiana, Duke, Baylor, Creighton, and Kentucky. So Indiana pretty high up there on the list right now, and I think they're going to be pretty good.
I'm tempering expectations for Indiana still. I know there's a lot of people who are excited, but the biggest thing is you got to remember they've been taking on two not so very talented programs. So until we get to where they're going to be taking on the talented games, look for North Carolina. If IU can beat North Carolina, then I think we can finally accept that, hey, IU will be this very good team. Because there are those people who are like, they're going to make it to the Final Four. They're major contenders. I'm not saying they're going to be like that. They're going to make the tournament. They may even make it past the first round. But I don't expect to see IU doing that well at the end of this season.
Yeah, we'll just all have to see there. I think this season, I'm not saying it'll rest on the shoulders of him, but I think that a big driving factor of the season is going to have to be Trace Jackson Davis. He's going to have to play really well this season and all that.
Should be fun. But we have the State Farm Champions Classic tonight at Gainbridge, so I'm excited to see that.
Kyle's going to that game.
Yep, Kentucky, Michigan State, Duke, Kansas. Need to get some analysis from him there, obviously.
Yeah, but before that, Winthrop will take on Auburn, and Buffalo takes on 25-ranked UConn. Auburn ranked number 13, so those should be. I think Buffalo Connecticut will be a good game. Not so sure about Winthrop and Auburn though.
Winthrop is always the team that makes the tournament. They always just dominate their division. But no, I think Auburn should continue to be undefeated. When we look at Buffalo, they're a good Mid-American Conference team. I do think UConn should win that one though.
Yeah, I think that UConn will win that, but we'll just have to see. Number 4 ranked Kentucky and unranked Michigan State in the Champions Classic, which is very interesting that Michigan State is undefeated right now. Unranked, as they did beat the number. They only lost by one to the number 2 ranked Gonzaga.
I have been wondering why in the world they wouldn't be unranked. I think they still get some talented recruits. We've seen that each year.
Xavier Booker going there next year.
Yeah, that should be exciting. I'm excited to see what he will be bringing to Michigan State, one of the top recruits in Indiana. But I guarantee you unless they lose to Kentucky, then they're going to remain unranked because they already lost to Gonzaga. But if they can beat Kentucky, you'll see them pop their way back into the top 25, and Kentucky will probably only fall to like 10 or 11 if they lose. They always have a guarantee to be in like the top 25 unless they lose like 5 or 6 in a row.
Yeah,
then people will push the panic button and then they'll get out of the rankings.
Yeah, but the next game here at 8 o'clock tonight, Gardner Webb takes on number 1 ranked UNC. I think I got Gardner Webb in this game. Definitely got Gardner Webb over the number 1 ranked North Carolina.
Interesting choice there. You know, the 0-2 Gardner Webb. Yeah. Looks like they'd be called the Bulldogs based on their logo. But they're going to probably be something else. I feel like they may make the tournament sometimes, but they're not like a main lower school. Apparently, they have a 6.7% chance of winning. So, oh, sorry. It's the Running Bulldogs.
The Running Bulldogs. All right. Max, you can't get that wrong, man.
Exactly. I'm obviously bad journalism.
They literally...
There.
Hold on. They just took Gonzaga's logo and just put a body on it.
Yeah.
They just took Gonzaga's logo and put a body on it. That's funny.
They have a different... They have a new logo on the ESPN app.
Oh, they do?
Because I remember it used to be, like, the Bulldog with the body on it.
Yeah, I'm just on the... On the college,
they changed
basketball.
It. How dare they? They probably didn't want to get sued. We're going back, though. We have Dayton and UNLV, battle of 2-0 teams. Dayton, I saw some early projections that Dayton could shock some people and make it far into the tournament. They're not going to be like they were in the COVID season, where they were truly expected to be major contenders, even Final Four material, but I still think Dayton should be good this year.
Yeah, definitely 21 ranked overall. The Duke and Kansas in the Champions Classic game tonight at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. That'll be a fun game overall. Kansas number 6 ranked, Duke number 7. And I got Kansas in this game. I got the reigning national champions, Kansas.
I gotta go with Kansas too. I think Kansas has always had the better recruits. They are the better roster. I know Duke may get some more 5 stars, but I really think just better coaching is at Kansas right now. But don't they have, like, Kansas's head coach suspended for 4 games or something?
I don't really know anything about that. All I know is that Duke did lose Paolo Banchero last year to the NBA draft. Obviously went number 1 overall, so that could be a driving factor that they don't have him anymore. That's the one thing that Duke struggles with a little bit is, I mean, they do have really good recruits that come in all the time, but
they always lose
all the guys to the first round of the draft, and they only have them for 1 or 2 years because they declare. Like, they only had Zion Williamson for 1 year. I think they only had R.J. Barrett for 1 or 2 years.
They had D-Book for 1 year. That's just the joys of college basketball. You only get to see them for 1 year, and then they're already gone.
Yep. That is definitely the joys of college basketball. Gonzaga tomorrow. These are tomorrow's games now. Gonzaga taking on Texas. So that should be a good game. Gonzaga number 2 ranked right now, as of right now. But they should. I think that they're going to win that game overall. Max, what are your thoughts on that game?
I'm all for Gonzaga this year. They are going to be very talented. I don't know exactly why Texas is all the way up to 11th. I know they're 2-0, but it should be a close one. I'm excited to see that one, but I'd expect Gonzaga. I don't think they're going to be undefeated like they were a couple years ago, where they were undefeated throughout most of the season, but I still expect Gonzaga to be a major contender and a Final Four appearance for sure.
Yeah, I'm high on Gonzaga this year. I think that they can make a good run in the tournament, depending on how the seeding works. I think that we're going to have another... Possibly, I know they weren't a Final Four team last year. They weren't a Blue Bloods team, you know. But I think that they're going to make a good run this year. I think they have a chance to make the Final Four. I remember correctly, it was Kansas, Duke, North Carolina. Who's the fourth team? It was another blue team.
Yeah, I don't remember off the top of my head. But...
Nova.
Oh, Villanova. Villanova.
I forgot about that. Yeah, that's right. But anyway, that's the end of it. That's going to do it for our college basketball segment of this show. We're going to move into some college football, starting off with a Big Ten game that really was not really a close game overall, and that was Indiana and Ohio State. That was a fun game. Ohio State wins 56-14 over Indiana, and Indiana loses. Ohio State was up 28-7 at the half, and then ended up winning 56-14. So Indiana moves to 3-7 after starting off 3-0 on the season. Ohio State now 10-0 on the season. Another Indiana team. In Notre Dame beats Navy 35-32, only beating Navy by 3.
That was really interesting to see Navy 3-7 on the year. It's just too close for me. I mean, you're Notre Dame against Navy. It should not be and this close. And I think it once again shows that this is not a very good Notre Dame team this year. Yes, I know Stanford Marshall. They can beat some of the very talented teams, but you can't be struggling against these filler games, which Notre Dame has.
Yeah, those are very tough games to just kind of contend with.
But then they beat Clemson. Doesn't make sense. Notre Dame's like the Colts.
Yes.
Tennessee 66 bombed Missouri 66-24 overall there. LSU beats Arkansas only 13-10. Sixth ranked LSU. October's for pretenders, November's for contenders, as you beat unranked Arkansas by 3. Now, I know, like, Notre Dame, they're not contenders.
No, they are not.
You're going to talk about LSU being a contender. Brian Kelly's going to speak so high on LSU. Obviously, you're the head coach. You're going to speak high on them. But if you're going to speak high on them of November's being contenders, now I know you're allowed to have bad games. They're 8-2 now. But you can't beat the then 4ers. You can't beat the then 5-4 Arkansas Razorbacks by 3.
I've been seeing this with LSU all year long. A lot of people have been trying to say they should be in the college football playoffs. It's going to be really tough to decide if we're going to see that just this LSU team just keep struggling against some of these easy opponents. And we also had Purdue beat Illinois, by the way, 31-24, number 21 ranked Illinois. The Big Ten West, I think everyone is basically in it except for Northwestern now.
I did see a video as of, there's going to be a little sound play. As of like 2 days ago, that everybody is in contention with 3 weeks left, right?
Yeah. Something like that.
So with 3 weeks left, Northwestern has to play. Northwestern has to win out, and like every game has to be perfect to fall into place. And they can, as of 4 days ago, so it probably changed there, but as of 4 days ago, for week 11, week 12, he made a week 12 video. I haven't watched that yet, but the guy did make a video on that, how it is a possibility for, I think, now, like you said, no Northwestern, but 6 out of 7 Big Ten West teams to make. That just shows how mediocre the Big Ten West is.
It's going to be exciting when we get to see UCLA and USC. And then it'll be just like that once again, because they're not going to do well against Big Ten talent because the Pac-12 sucks.
Pac-12 is pretty bad.
Hasn't like everyone in the Pac-12 basically lost now?
Yeah, there's a circle of suck. Everybody lost to somebody. So, except for Stanford wasn't on the list, and Stanford beat Notre Dame.
That's true. They should be the champions, obviously. Don't look at the record. You beat Notre Dame. Yeah. We should put them in the college football playoffs, obviously.
Yeah, Washington, who was 25, beat the then number 6 Oregon 37-34. They are now 15 and 12 ranked, respectively.
Washington, I've seen them all year long. They've been, I think, really the most up and down team I've seen. There's some weeks where everyone's like, Washington's one of the best teams I've seen, and then they end up losing the next week. We also, shout out to Kyle, Vanderbilt beating Kentucky.
Vanderbilt did beat Kentucky. That was a fun game to see.
Congratulations to Vanderbilt for actually winning an SEC game.
And with the win over Southern Mississippi, Frank Gore Jr., that's a name I haven't heard in a while. Frank Gore with a couple rushing yards for Southern Mississippi. But anyway, Coastal Carolina gets the win over Southern Mississippi. They are now ranked. They won 26-23. They are now ranked. And they have a cool logo.
I'm a big Coastal Carolina fan.
They do have a cool logo.
They're 9-1. And they have a cool field. They have like a teal field.
They are awesome.
Yeah.
9-1.
Why can't we have them be like the Cincinnati of last year and put them as number 4?
Hey, guess who lost to Utah?
Who?
By 35 points.
Oh, I do see that.
Yeah.
Stanford.
Haha, Notre Dame.
I just want to hate on Notre Dame.
I want to make it very clear, I do not hate the University of Notre Dame.
I don't.
I just like to make fun of them when we have someone who is a fan of the university. That's why we always like to make fun of Purdue when they lose, because Garrett's here.
Well, I'm a Notre Dame fan. I like the university. I went to one of their games, and they're really cool. Like, I'm not speaking bad about them or anything like that, but I just like poking fun of them because they're always this most overrated, overranked team.
Thank you.
And then they show up and they do stuff like that, and it really makes me mad because they show up and they're, oh, Notre Dame, they're so ranked, and then they go and they lose to Stanford. They go and they lose to Marshall, and then they go and hang with Ohio State, and they beat Clemson.
So, it's just been a crazy year so far. Syracuse sucks again. They lost to Florida State. Yeah, remember when everyone was so high on Syracuse being like, that's so fun. Yeah, they lost 38-3 to Florida State.
Yeah, didn't they just beat Wake Forest, though?
I think so. North Carolina beat Wake Forest, and North Carolina's going to probably still get overranked again. And then we had Arizona beat UCLA, so.
Interesting game.
Crazy week.
Oh, yeah, that was.
Oh, yeah, TCU, Texas, too.
Oh, no, sorry. Wake Forest is on Saturday.
Ooh, that should be fun.
Yeah, I saw Wake Forest on the screen, but that was last year's game, I think.
Yeah.
That I saw. But, yeah, they did lose 38-3 to Syracuse. Or, excuse me, Florida State. Syracuse lost. But we're going to end off our segment on college sports there. We're going to move into the NBA and then a little bit of high school sports if we have time after a short break on the Sports Ball at Indy's Giant 9.9.
Hey, Dr. Elsperman. I believe one of the best ways to invest in a community is to encourage participation in high school sports.
I agree, Paul. High school sports can play a tremendous role in student athletes obtaining their first degree in life, a high school diploma. Ivy Tech Community College also plays a role by serving more than 70,000 Indiana high school students who are earning college credit while finishing high school.
High school athletics are all about setting students up for success in the classroom and in life, and that's especially important. Considering less than 7% of student athletes play sports in college, and even fewer receive scholarships.
At Ivy Tech, thousands of high school students complete their freshman year of college or first industry credential, giving them a head start on college and careers.
We appreciate the support of partners like Ivy Tech who invest in our student athletes, their education, and our communities.
This is championing education. This is investing in your community. This is your IHSAA.
Welcome back to the Sports Spotlight, Indy's Giant 9.9. My name is Owen Poyt, alongside Max Gilley and Lucas McKee, right here in the Sports Spotlight. But I do want to talk about this. There was a sad incident over the weekend that killed three students. There was a shooting that killed three students at the University of Virginia, and they were all Virginia football players. Devin Chandler, Deshaun Perry, and Lavelle Davis Jr. Very sad to see, and two more injured, but luckily they do have the suspect in custody, but a very sad scene to see. So all of our thoughts are out to those families. Just an unfortunate thing to see with guys so young, and even no matter the age, anything like that is a very unfortunate thing to see, but three college football players with a bright future ahead of them just cut short. Very unfortunate.
Very unfortunate.
But we're going to get away from the sad news and get into the good news of the NBA. The NBA is back, and it's been back for a while, 12 games into the season, which is crazy that we're already 12 games into the season.
A few surprising teams, though, that are doing bad, and then a couple surprising teams that are doing good.
Yeah, like the Kings are 6-6 right now.
The Warriors are 3-8 or 3-7, something like
6-8 now.
Oh.
And then the Lakers are pretty low there.
3-10 on
the
year.
3-10, wow.
Wow.
Only Houston is worse.
Only Houston. What's Houston's record?
2-12.
2-12.
They are. And then in the other half of the NBA, Detroit. So Detroit and Houston are the only two teams in the league worse than the Lakers. Everyone else has a better record.
Detroit with the first overall 2020 pick, 2021 pick, and possibly 2023 pick?
Yeah, probably.
They got the fourth pick in the 2022 draft.
They did have Jaden Ivey.
Yeah, the Magic got the number one pick. But they went
It's not been magic for them, though. They're still 4-10.
All right, I messed up. The 2020 first overall pick. I'm spacing on the name.
Wasn't that Houston?
I think it was Houston.
And then 2021 was Cade Cunningham.
It was Cade Cunningham. I thought they had it in 2020. But, yeah, Cade Cunningham. And then they were pretty low last year as well with the number 4 overall pick with Jaden Ivey. And then 2023, Victor Wembanyama, question mark? Because he's probably going to go number 1. But today, the Grizzlies and the Pelicans play. The Grizzlies 9-5, the Pelicans 7-6. The battle of the top two picks in the they're not top two picks. Sorry, RJ Barrett went number 2, right?
Oh, I thought Ja went number 2 that
Did
year.
Did he go number 2?
I thought RJ went number 3.
I thought Ja was a higher pick, but yeah. Anyway, I think it was so 1-2. Then if that is correct, the 2019 draft of Zion Williamson and Ja Morant. Ja Morant obviously becoming a better overall player, playing more games, in my opinion. Max, what are your thoughts on that, moving away from the NBA games side of it, but more into the players?
For sure, Ja Morant has been the better player. It's just been unfortunate for Zion, but that's unsurprising. He always was hurt. He was hurt in college. He's been hurt, like, every single time. It's just unsurprising.
Ja Morant's a monster.
But yeah, I knew he was. I was 100% wrong with Ja Morant. I was like, oh, I know he's a high pick, but he's just going to be doing okay on the Grizzlies. But he has emerged as a superstar. Great for him.
Absolutely.
And I did look back at the draft. Zion was 1, Ja was 2, RJ was 3. Looking ahead through the draft. That was the year Romeo Langford was drafted. Look how that turned out.
That was a good draft class overall, in my opinion. My opinion, I think that the 2019 draft was a good draft class overall. But the Clippers and Mavericks playing tonight in Dallas, Knicks and Jazz, the Nets and the Kings, two teams that are kind of struggling. I mean, the Kings are they've struggled in years past. They're 6-6.
I'd say this is a winning year for them. I mean, they already have more than like.
Yeah.
3 wins at this point.
I think Kings are going to win, too.
I think so as well, but I think Spurs and Trailblazers would probably have been a better matchup in the 10 o'clock hour on TNT. Personally, 6-8 Spurs, 9-4 Trailblazers, they're doing well this year, but oh well, I'm obviously not in charge of the television deal. But yeah, Portland, Denver are tied for first in the West, and Utah's third, Memphis fourth. Exciting. Just been an exciting season so far.
Yeah, and where are the Pacers at right now? Aren't they like 10?
Pacers are 9th right now. 6-6, 500 on the year. Cleveland is 4th, but they've lost 4 in a row, so they're going to keep falling down. Milwaukee was undefeated for a while. Now they're 10-3 in second. Boston is 1st at 11-3. On a 7-game win streak are Boston.
Boston's still chugging along at the top of the Eastern Conference. They're going to be a true contender for the championship this year, in my opinion.
They should be. The only other really big wins have been Washington won 4 in a row, so Washington's been very confusing to me. They've been doing well this year. I didn't think they had a lot around them this year, but clearly this team has gelled very well. Or it could just be easy schedule.
Possibly that, but I think that, like I said, I think they're going to be a true contender for the NBA Finals. But with that, we're going to end off the NBA part of our show and move into, for the final couple minutes, we're going to talk about high school basketball, just kind of reviewing what happened. The Ben Davis girls basketball team, the Giants, they beat Brownsburg on a game-winning shot. They're now 2-1 in the season. They take on Plainfield tonight at 7:30 p.m. Check that out right here.
Bench Bowl.
Giant 9.9. Yeah, Kurt Bench and Stan Bench taking on each other as head coaches. Coach Stan Bench of the Lady Giants going for win number 550 with the Giants.
Should be very exciting. A Plainfield team that struggles. The Giants should be the heavy favorite, but you never know what can happen in these types of matchups. There's always upsets, and that's the greatest part about Indiana sports.
Yeah, and on Friday, The boys take on Warren Central at Ben Davis, the first boys game of the year. And like I said, that is on Friday, November 18th, so check that one out.
I thought that was the girls' team because the boys' team started off against Fishers.
Oh, it says B on our schedule. So is that a girls' game?
That should be, yeah.
All right, I'll change that real quick.
I think it's getting fixed now, but...
Okay, luckily I haven't 100% prepped yet, so luckily I didn't start doing boys' prep. You know, that would not have been fun. But if that's a girls' game, okay, sounds good. I will play it accordingly. But thanks for that news. But anyway, so the girls will take on Warren after that.
It's the anniversary of your first play-by-play gig.
What?
Your first play-by-play gig, because that's where I fell out.
The Warren? yeah. But the boys take on Fishers November 22nd. So, okay. So the boys take on Fishers November 22nd.
Should be a top five matchup.
Ben Davis has a really good chance to be ranked number one.
They do. And Fishers has one of the top ESPN-ranked recruits 24/7. All the recruits with Jalen Harrelson, one of the top sophomores in the country. So, should be a fun one.
Should be a good game overall. Lucas, any final words today?
Not really. It's not much.
Not much to say.
A lot was covered by you guys.
Go Monrovia, beat Lawrenceburg this Friday.
Woo. How is Monrovia in semi-state?
That's another show for another day. We'll talk about that next week.
I'm just kidding.
I still don't know either.
Hey, don't talk bad about your own high school football team.
It's been fun.
No, it's cool to see that, like...
Why not us?
Yeah, made it to semi-state. I mean, you're already here. Might as well just go to state already.
Exactly.
You know? Anyway, that's going to be the end of the Sports Spotlight. My name is Owen Pulley, Max Gilley, Lucas McKee, right here on Indy's Giant 9.9. Thank you for listening.